and began to preach the gospel to the passerbys. And some people looked at me like, what? And I remember two little old ladies were walking by, and one of them said to the other, look, he's preaching. No, he's not. Yeah, he is. Look, he's preaching. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Look, he's preaching. No, he's not. Yes, he is. And a business guy came by and said, hey, you should do that in New York. They need it there. And one guy stood in front of me and he said, you must be very brave. And I thought to myself, the last thing I am is brave. And then there were these two early teenage girls, 13 or 14, who stopped to listen. So I got off the platform and I talked to them. And they prayed with me to receive the Lord. Don't know what happened to them. So I finished the hour, and the Lord said, good, come back tomorrow. So the next day, I got up, there was the anxiety, the fear, the thought, oh my God, you know, 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, now I have to go. Went the second day, there was a spot, but I had to put money in the meter. So I did it again. The third day that I woke up, and I tell you this, beloved, the fear was gone. Because for 6 months, I was haunted by this fear. And I woke up, and the fear was gone. Like I turned around, you know, like, okay, you know, are you there? Because I would step through a room, I'd step through a door, and it would jump out at me, you know, and I was, because this is what was going on in my head, you know, and I'd go through a doorway like this. And the fear was gone. I tried to trick myself. I looked at my watch. 5:30. And the fear was gone. Can I tell you what that felt like for me on that moment? That the fear was gone. It was gone. And looking, you know, I went through my day like a normal day, recognizing I had an appointment at 5:30 to be on my box and to preach. And it didn't bother me. The fear was gone. It was gone. That thing that had paralyzed me was broken off of me because I faced it. I faced it and it was gone. And I got on the box, 5:30, preached, shared the gospel with whomever, and the Lord said to me, you're done. You don't have to do this anymore. Because he used that to break the fear. And I can tell you that was 1980, the summer of 1980. From that moment to this, I have not known a moment of fear in my life. In any situation I've ever been in. Oh, I've had concerns and issues to face, but I have never. I can stand before you and before God and tell you that from that day to this, I have not known another moment of fear. But I learned from that, that the only way that fear goes is when you confront it. Through that liberation in me, I was able to start a part of our ministry of preaching on the street and taking people preaching on the street. And we would go out. In Brooklyn in the summer, there was an area like your waterfront. Only you have 5 people there, and we have 50,000 people. You know, and a Saturday night, a Friday and a Saturday night, people coming out because there's lovely restaurants. It's you know, it's called Sheep's Head Bay, for those of you that would be interested. And we would go out. And now I got a little portable microphone, and in order to preach in Brooklyn on the streets with an amplification, I had to get a permit from the local police station. And I became friends with the Jewish lady who issued the permits, you know, because I went in there once, what are you doing? We're preaching the gospel, I would like a permit, who are you? You look Jewish, I am, you're Jewish and preaching, oh yes, Jesus saved me, la 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 la. And you know, she wasn't hostile, she was just fascinated because she had never met anybody like me. That's okay, I had never met anybody like me. And I was meeting myself, you know, and all of this. Because, you know, for me to be doing all of this was not who I was, who I thought I was. But Jesus had another picture of me than I had of myself. Are you hearing this? He has a picture of you that you don't have of yourself. And he desires to bring you into that image. If you say yes. I had a determination in my heart. to say yes to the Lord. So we began doing this, you know, every Saturday night. You know, during the summer months, we'd stand on the corner. We had a little table. We had our PA. We had our flag. We had our evangelistic. We used to give out various tracts, and we got a bunch of them in many languages because it's such a multicultural neighborhood. We gave out tracts in all kinds of language, and we talked to people and had lots of encounters and prayed with lots of people. And all of that was fruit that then changed in other ways when the Lord began to send me out and open up the ministry that eventually is what we're doing now in preaching, teaching in the nations of the world. But I know that I couldn't be doing what I've been doing now for 20 odd years if I hadn't made that choice then. And I just believe that there is a moment of choice here for all of us. You know, and I just really feel like perhaps that's really the heart of what the Lord wants me to share with you this morning, are these profound moments of choosing. Because you can look at your circumstances. You can look at the people, the places, and the circumstances of your life, and you can make the wrong choice. But when we pray, God, your will. This is what I want to do. I want what you want. You know, let me just read for you out of Hebrews chapter 10 some verses. This was written to Jewish believers in the first century who were being persecuted for their faith. And the writer here says this. This is Hebrews chapter 10 verse 32. Now remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering. Now I had an enlightening encounter that brought me into faith that Jesus was the Messiah. I don't know what your experience of God is, but I know this. God wants to enlighten you. If you have not had an encounter with God, with Christ in God, He wants you to have that. And I know that when you go out in your evangelistic and door knocking and movie, the ministry that God is giving you, you know, you need to be praying that these people would have an enlightening encounter. Because that's the only thing that's going to change anybody is when they know that they know that they know. And I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and I was called to proclaim Him to my people and to those people, and I had a choice in my spirit. Will you do it? Will you obey me? Will you? And I kept saying, God have mercy on me. Yes, help, 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 help. This is my favorite prayer, by the way, help. Hallelujah. You know, if people come to me and say, teach me to pray, I'll say, here it is, help. That was a good place for some of you to say amen. Gee, I thought it was going to be, oh, thou living God who createst the heavens and the earth. No. Help! Telling you the truth. Remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Partly by me made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you yourselves have a better possession and an abiding one. What do you know, beloved? What do you know? Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession. Because you cannot give to somebody what you do not have. You cannot go evangelizing and telling them about a Jesus you don't know. About a hope in heaven that you don't have. About a God that you haven't experienced. You can only give somebody what you have actually received. And I knew I could stand on that box overcoming that fear. Because I was giving them and tempting to give them something that I actually had. And I realized in my confronting fear that I had this picture in my heart of the old American West and the confrontation between the archetypical good guy and bad guy. You know, and the sheriff dressed in white. With the badge and the pearl-handled six-shooter. This is my picture going back to being a little boy, you know. He had to confront the bad guy dressed in black. You know, the Snidely Whiplash, for some of you who remember who that character was.